The old monk sat by the side of the road. Now, monk here is not a Catholic monk. It's one of those, I forget what they're called, but I think you know what I mean. With his eyes closed and his legs crossed and his hands folded on his lap, he sat. In deep meditation, he sat. Suddenly, his zan was interrupted by the harsh and demanding voice of a samurai warrior. "Old man, teach me about heaven and hell." Well, at first, as though he had not heard, there was no perceptible response from the monk. But gradually, he began to open his eyes, the faintest hint of a smile playing around the corners of his mouth as the samurai stood there waiting, impatient, growing more and more agitated with each passing second. "You would know the secrets of heaven and hell," replied the monk. "At last, you who are so unkempt, you whose hands and feet are covered with dirt, you whose hair is uncombed, whose breath is foul, whose sword is all rusty and neglected, you who are ugly and whose mother dresses you funny, you would ask me of heaven and hell?" The samurai uttered a vile curse. He drew his sword and raised it high above his head, his face turned to chrism. The veins on his neck stood out in bold relief as he prepared to sever the monk's head from its shoulders. "That is hell," said the old monk gently, just as the sword began its descent. In that fraction of a second, the samurai was overcome with amazement, awe, compassion, and love for this gentle being who had dared to risk his very life to give him such a teaching. He stopped his sword in mid-flight, and his eyes filled with grateful tears. "And that," said the monk, "is heaven." Hopefully none of us have to go to such great extremes to make a point or to teach, but there's a lot there. What did the samurai warrior understand initially? All he understood was brute force. I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to get it however I want to get it, in whatever fashion. But it was all about him. It was all about him. I want it, and by darn, you're going to get it to me. But it's interesting, I don't know if it's a true story. It's interesting to see how he's actually interested about heaven and hell. You would think he could care less. But deep inside, every single one of us is designed for heaven. We're all designed for God, whether we mask it, whether we don't know it. But it's a matter of how do we exercise that? How do we find it? How do we search it? To whom do we go to find help? Right? And so in that story, he went to the guy who, this is the only way he could have taught him. Could you imagine? "Well, sit down here. Let me give you a class. Get out your notebook." That never would have worked. He had to find it out for himself. And so we look to this gospel, the Pharisees. And they observe Jesus and his disciples going through a field of grain on the Sabbath and picking heads of grain and rubbing them, you know, preparing them and eating them. My first thought is, isn't that stealing? But that's kind of not the point here. But the Pharisees see this. "How dare you? You should not do that on the Sabbath, because we are not to work and toil and harvest on the Sabbath." Because that was an old law, and it's a good law if understood properly. Again, this comes from way, 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 way back when, before the time of the Pharisees. In other words, God wanted them to stop and rest on the Sabbath, give glory to God, not to only think about themselves, but to draw them out of themselves and focus on God, etc. You know what the Sabbath is about, the Sunday rest. But they're seeing Jesus harvesting. He's not harvesting. Are you kidding me? They're starved. They're hungry. So they're going to eat. God never said, do not eat on the Sabbath. You know, it's kind of silly. So you see these Pharisees, they're always turning things around to their own devices, to their own purposes. They just can't get out of themselves. They're so closed-minded, as I say. And so then Jesus, kind of in a similar way to this samurai, to this monk in that story, he tells them, he makes reference to King David. Well, before this time, because they know these stories. These Pharisees, they very well know the stories of David. So he said, David did the same thing. He and his warriors, you know, they ate the bread that was only to be given in sacrifice to God in the temple. And every Sabbath, and they did this all the way up until this moment here, too, the tradition was that they would bring 12 loaves and present it in the temple, each one representing a tribe, one of the 12 tribes of David. And they've been doing this year after year after year, and nobody was to touch it except for the temple priests. They would eat of those loaves, and that represented the consumption of God. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Anyway, and so Jesus brings that up because they were starving. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, they were there to give glory to God, to be a gift to God. But if you're hungry, you got to eat. So the whole point is understanding what truly is the Sabbath. Is it a matter of getting the checklist figured out? Yes, I warmed a pew this Sunday. I'm good to go. No, you're not, you know. Who cares? I mean, like I tell the children, it could be argued that if you're just there warming the seat, and then that's it, so that's all you do, and then leave, maybe you didn't fulfill your Sunday obligation just because you breathed the air in a building. So let's understand, you know, the whole point of what God desires for us, what he puts in front of us. Is it just for the act in of itself, just a humanitarian effort? No, of course not. It's all about love. Just like yourselves, how you discipline your children. It's not because you just feel like being mean. No, it's for their own good. So they grew up to be responsible and loving and contributing to society and loving God. That's the point. And so we look at any rule, but in this particular sense, what does it really mean to honor God on the Sabbath? It means giving him his due. And in turn, oh yes, he will always be faithful to all of us. All we have to do is give of ourselves and understand that it's all about loving God. It's not about me. It's about how I can love God in return. Just like you love your children, right? And your children love you. And I mean, whatever all that means, et cetera, with each family. But just don't stop. Persevere with that. Because then you will understand. And then the love starts pouring in because you become more united with Christ.